Let me come back to this, Mary, because this question that Krishnaji kept asking, you know, why wasn't that boy ever conditioned?
Mm-hmm.
And then tie that in with something else that Krishnaji said, which is that how you only need one Thomas Edison to invent the light bulb,
mm-hmm.
and everyone after that only has to flip the switch.
Yes.
There is something about the role of Krishnaji and the fact that for whatever reason, and one can only suppose that they're otherworldly, he was not conditioned and therefore could continue to speak out of this unconditioned state and communicate to all of us in our conditioned state from an unconditioned state.
Yes.
That this communication, I'll call it from the unconditioned to the conditioned, this dialogic process had the potential to foster or encourage or assist in this mutation, that he underwent that mutation, because it's almost as if he started off mutated.
Yes.
He called himself a freak often.
You can't mutate unless you weren't.
Exactly.
Whatever the mutation.
Exactly, unless you were in the prior, yeah.
You have to be...
you have to be something you mutate from.
Yes.
Yes.
It's two things.
Exactly, so... I feel this ties back into where this thing that started off this diversion here, which is Krishnaji saying, you know, being so interested in why that boy was never conditioned. Because it's not just... curiosity. You know, it would be nice to know why this boy would...
No.
But it somehow is deeply related to something that is absolutely at the core of the teachings about this mutated brain or this... because while he might have been the Thomas Edison, and while we might be able to just flip the switch, we don't do it.
That's right.
You see, so somehow, whatever allowed him to be the Thomas Edison is actually directly related to our being able to flip the switch. You know, somehow this facility with electricity, or this facility to be unconditioned, or to have an empty mind. And somehow, despite all that, with all the teachings, with all the Krishnaji has said about desire and love and all of the meditation and death and all of the... But there is something extraordinary about silence.
Yes.
And emptiness that Krishnaji keeps coming back to and seems more important than everything else, almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, this silence seems directly related to almost the state of mind that Krishnaji spoke from. It seems also directly related to having no conditioning. And to this dialogue process that he talked about so often. And Krishnaji often, while Krishnaji always was talking about why wasn't this boy conditioned, he often in the same sentence would talk about how that young boy had such a vacant, you know, brain. Mm-hmm.
It's related
to that too. There's somehow the vacancy is what perhaps, you know, contributed to his not being conditioned, or maybe a reflection of his not being conditioned. One doesn't know what comes first, but
it wasn't resistance to conditioning, because he didn't resist anything. He said it just went through him, you know, they told him all these things, and the heavy conditioning of a Brahmin life at that point.
Yeah, and theosophy. And
then theosophy. And he went along with it. I mean, he was...
Mm-hmm. He didn't rebel? Or
no, yeah. On the contrary. He loved to go to the temple with his mother. Mm-hmm. In fact, he went to temples by himself in Rishi Valley. There was some temple way up some mountain that he used to climb up and go to it. I think it was a deserted temple or something. So he didn't either embrace it or resist any of all this. The more one ponders all this, both Krishnaji as a human being and his teachings, the more extraordinary both become. Mm-hmm. It's just our short-sightedness that prevents us understanding all that, or seeing the... But it's important, I think, to realize that, to know that, to never say, "Oh yes, this is what he meant. I understand
yes,
this."
Yes, yes.
It's just like the light coming in this window. You can't say, "I have so much light and I've got it."
Yeah.
It's alive. It's